Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, page 1225 in your Schofield Reference Bible. We'll be reading responsively the first eight verses. Once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, page 1225. And may we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel. Thank you for the word of truth that you minister to us through our preacher. And we pray that you'd bless this morning. This is a unique time, a special time, because there's only one day in all of history just like today. And so we need thy help today. So meet with us in a demonstration of thy power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Easter messages galore are being preached at this very moment. And literally millions of Easter messages will be preached, have been preached, or are being preached all over the world. I dare say that the one that you're going to hear is the only one on this particular subject of all the millions and millions of Easter messages. I'll not be lengthy. I will be preaching to you probably as near as you can get to the Easter message. Father, bless our time together now, sweetly and in power. Meet with us and give us the meaning of Easter. Amen. There are literally multiplied millions of people observing Easter today. The world stops to hush for just a while, and the engines and the machines stop to a grinding halt for a while. Once a year, we focus our attention on one little place located outside the northern wall of the city of Jerusalem, where our Lord was for 3 days, or where his body was for 3 days and three nights. However, please do not think I am being unkind when I say this. Hardly anybody who observes Easter this morning knows why. Hardly anybody knows why. I'll guarantee you that just a small percentage, less than 1%, less than a tenth percent, if that much, of the people this morning who got up early to go to some place for an Easter sunrise service, or who gather in buildings like this across the land, have any concept of what Easter is all about. The Apostle Paul writes the church at Corinth, and he says, I delivered to you the gospel. He said, now, this is what I gave you. This is the gospel. Now, I read it for you. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. And here's the gospel, he said. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There's the gospel. But the tragedy is, most people do not understand why The resurrection is a part of that gospel. Now follow me very, very carefully. It'll be a little easier, much easier, if you will not make me have to hold your attention right now for a few minutes, but you'll listen on purpose. The nation of Israel had been for years in the land of Egypt, since Joseph's time. They had been enslaved in the land of Egypt. The time had come when God wanted them delivered from the awful, awful tyranny, bondage, and concentration camp-like existence in the land of Egypt. God raised up a man named Moses, and God delivered to Moses some good news. And that's what the gospel is. The word gospel means good news. You tell somebody, the nurse that goes to tell the husband it's a boy, is spreading the gospel because that's good news. Any good news, the word gospel means good news. So God came to Moses and said, Moses, I've got some good news for the people. This is it. He delivered to Moses exactly the good news of the plan that God was going to use and that God had devised for the deliverance of his people. Listen carefully. This was the good news. God said to Moses, you gather the people together and you tell them to do several things, and here's the good news. Number one, you tell them on the 10th day of the first month, that would correspond somewhat with our April 10. On the 10th day of the first month, he said, you tell the Jews now to get a lamb. Now he said that lamb, it must be a male lamb. It must be a male lamb without blemish. Now he said, I want you to take that male lamb. This is the good news. I'm going to use this good news, he said, to deliver you and your people from the land of bondage. So tell them, take that lamb, that male lamb, without blemish. And I want you to keep that lamb held for 4 days. From the 10th of the day of the month to the 14th day of the month. You got it so far? This is the good news. You don't get this, you don't get delivered. You miss this, you'll stay in bondage. He said, this is it. First, every family chooses a lamb. That lamb must be a male lamb. That male lamb must be a male lamb without blemish. It must be taken on the first month and the 10th day of that month. It must be held and observed carefully for 4 days to be sure that you know that lamb has no blemish. That lamb can have no disease. That lamb can have no scab on his flesh. That must be a lamb without blemish. Then he said, here's the good news. On the 14th day of that month, I want every family to kill that lamb. And then I want that family, when the blood of that lamb is spilled or shed, I want you to get that blood and get a little piece of hyssop weed. Hyssop weed, I don't walk in the vacant lots anymore, but remember the kind of thing we used to suck on, a little weed, you'd pull it out of a socket and you'd chew on it, it was sort of sweet. Anybody here ever that hungry? Alright. It's everywhere. Hyssop weed was everywhere. Now you said, I want you to get a hyssop weed. And I want you to take that blood from that lamb. Now he said, here's the good news. If you don't listen to this, he said, and do what you have to do, you'll not be delivered. Every family takes a lamb without blemish, a male lamb without blemish. Take it up on the first day of the 10th day of the first month. Keep it there for 4 days to the 14th day. Then kill that lamb. Put his blood in a basin. Dip in that blood, that weed, and take that blood and sprinkle that blood on the doorpost and lintels of the house. Now he said, don't miss it, Moses. If it's not a lamb, you won't do. Now what's going to happen is, during the night of the 14th day of that month of April, there's going to be an angel pass through the land. And that angel called the death angel.
And that death angel is going to come to every house in Egypt. Now, bear in mind, the Jews were not in their own land. They were slaves in Egypt. And God said to Moses, tell the people that angel is going to come to every family during the night. And everywhere he sees the blood applied, the blood of that lamb, of that male lamb, of that male lamb without blemish, chosen on the 10th day of April, kept till the 14th day of April, killed on the 14th day of April, the blood taken in a basin, the basin, the blood dipped with the hyssop weed and put on the doorpost. He said, now, that death angel, when that angel passes through, he is going to kill every firstborn child. If you've got two children, the oldest one's going to die. The firstborn child. Except where he finds the blood of the lamb, the male lamb, the male lamb without blemish. The male lamb was chosen the 10th day of the month and kept up to the 14th day of the month. The male lamb without blemish that was killed on the 14th day of the month and whose blood was applied. He said, unless if the blood is applied of that innocent lamb on the doorpost, when that death angel comes through, he'll pass over that house. That's what the word pass over comes from. He'll pass over that house. He will not take the life of the firstborn of anybody who has that blood applied. Now follow me. The Egyptian people didn't know this. What God was doing, God was going to take the firstborn in every family of Egypt and use that as leverage so they would let the Israelites go to the promised land that God had chosen for them. So, the good news. What's the good news? The good news is, we're going to be free. But the good news, how will we be free? We'll be free because of a lamb. A male lamb. A male lamb without blemish. A male lamb chosen on the 10th day of April and kept to the 14th day of April. A male lamb that is killed on the 14th day of April. A male lamb whose blood is put in a basin. And into which it is dipped with the hyssop weed and sprinkled on the doorpost. He said, that's the good news. But now, wait a minute. Hear me now. Here's Easter. Let's suppose, for a moment, that here's a Jewish father who takes a lamb, just like God had said. He takes that lamb, a male lamb, just like God had said. It is a male lamb without blemish, just like God had ordered. It was chosen on April 10th, just like God had commanded. It was kept till April 14th, just like God had said. It was killed on April 14th, just like God had commanded. The blood was put in a basin on April 14th, just like God had commanded. Now, wait a minute. Let's suppose that blood stayed in that basin. Or let's suppose that blood dropped on the ground. And let's suppose that the father did not take that blood and sprinkle it on the doorpost. Would the Jewish first, with a child in that home, firstborn child, been spared or taken by death? Tell me. Taken by death. So it was not the shed blood that saved, it was the applied blood that saved. So, the death was not enough. The blood must be applied. Somebody said, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote the sacred head for such a worm as I? Somebody said, there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, but the blood of that innocent substitute was of no avail unless it was applied on the doorpost. Now, I'm teaching you as well as preaching to you. Follow me very carefully again. Once every year, God told Israel to have what they called a Day of Atonement. On that Day of Atonement, they had to take a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, and that animal sacrifice was to die in the place of the people as an atonement for their sins. Now follow me carefully. I want this microphone right here, please, on my right. Up a little bit more. Good. The high priest on that day of atonement took an innocent animal and sacrificed it. I've got time to tell you all about it, the goats and the bullocks and so forth. But took an innocent animal and sacrificed it. That animal shed its blood out here on what was called an altar. A brazen altar. The lamb was killed out here on a little altar setting up out here. Now the high priest took the blood of that lamb on the 10th day of October, as near as we can find it. And he took that blood in a basin, just like the Father did on the Passover night. He took that blood in that basin and took it inside a little room called the Holy of Holies. There was a table in that room called the Mercy Seat. The top of it was called the Mercy Seat. The bottom of it was called the Ark of the Covenant. Now, that high priest took the blood of this lamb right here and carried that blood with him inside that room, the holiest place in all of Israel. He took that blood and sprinkled that blood on that mercy seat. Now, the high priest could not be touched by anybody. No hand of any man could touch him. For example, let's suppose I'm the high priest and Brother Ray, as I walk by you, you make an attempt to touch me. And I've got this blood, and I'm the high priest, and I'm carrying that blood. Touch me not! Touch me not! I've not yet put the blood on the mercy seat. I can't be touched. Don't touch me. I walk inside that holy place. I sprinkle that blood on the holy place of the mercy seat. God looks down and sees that blood. Not the blood on the altar, the blood on the mercy seat. The shed blood does not save. The applied blood is what saves. The blood shed out here on the mercy seat, on the altar, will be of no avail unless that blood is sprinkled on the mercy seat. Why? Because God lived in His Shekinah glory inside that holy room, and that blood was sprinkled at the very presence of God Himself. And God looked down and saw the blood of that innocent substitute, and God declared the nation forgiven. Why? Because the blood was shed? No, but because the shed blood was applied. Now, here's Easter. Jesus Christ went to the cross. And on the cross, He placed all of your sins and all of my sins against His record. And on the cross, He was pronounced guilty, not for His own sins, because He had no sins. He was our sacrifice on the cross. He was a lamb. He is called, in the book of Revelation, for example, He is called a lamb more than He's called any other single thing. When John the Baptist came to announce His coming as His forerunner, He did not say, "Behold, the King of Kings who will rule the world." He did not say, "Behold, the Lord of Lords who will control the world." He did not say, "Behold, the Savior of Saviors who will save the world." He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." What was He? He was the fulfillment of the picture of that lamb that died over here a while ago on this brazen altar. He was the fulfillment of that picture of that lamb that died in every house on April the 14th on the Passover night. But now wait a minute. On the cross, He bore your sins. Did you hear me? He bore your sins. Did you hear me? You can't go to heaven unless the sin question's cared for. You've got to do something about your sin. You say, I'll quit them. No, you can't quit them. Well, I'll ask forgiveness, but how about the ones you're going to commit in the future? Or how about the ones that you commit and you forget and you don't think to ask forgiveness for them? Something's got to be done about your sin. Now, it was done, keep this on, please. It was done about the sins of Israel on the Day of Atonement when this blood of this lamb was taken to the high priest and sprinkled on the mercy seat. It was done in every household in Egypt of the Israelites, if they were to have their firstborn spared, by killing that lamb, a male lamb, a lamb without blemish, chosen, watched, no blemish, 4 days, killed on the 14th day, and the blood sprinkled on the mercy seat. Now, that little lamb was but a picture of Jesus, the Lamb of God. A male! These folks talking about, these ERA people, our Father, Mother, God. You've got a hole in your head, and by the way, you don't have a sacrifice either. I'm sure all the female lambs had a demonstration outside the county courthouse back in those days. You neglecting us. A male. Jesus, the Son of God, not the daughter of God, the Son of God. A lamb without blemish. 33 years he walked the sandy shores of Galilee. 33 years he walked the rocky slopes of the hills of Judea. For 33 years. And his bitterest enemy said, I find no fault in this man. Hallelujah! He qualifies. John said, he's a lamb. He's a male lamb. And he is without blemish. And so he goes to the cross. And on the cross, he dies. Dies when I should have died. Took your place and my place. But now, wait a minute. His blood is shed, but that's not enough. That blood has got to get to the presence of God. The blood shed won't do it. It's the blood applied that does it. And if the blood of Jesus Christ this morning is still in the ground and is seated in the ground at the foot of the cross, we, the Bible says, are of all men most miserable. That blood's got to get from the cross to heaven. But wait a minute. How's it going to get there? Only one person could take the blood to the Holy of Holies, and that was the high priest. Well, who is our high priest? Hebrews 7:25 says, Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's our high priest. But he's in the grave. He's buried. The blood is shed. It's got to get up there. I can't get up there. Can you? Can you? Can you? Can you? Somebody has got to get that blood off the Calvary and off the ground at the foot of the cross and take that cross to the presence of God. Who can do it? Only the high priest. But he's dead. He's dead. Unless he comes out of that grave, we have no hope. He alone was the Lamb. And he alone is the high priest. He alone can ascend into the glory land. We've got to get him out of that grave. Don't you think for a second, ladies and gentlemen, that just the shed blood gets you to heaven. It is the shed blood of our Lamb on the cross, but the applied blood of our high priest at the right hand of God Himself. The blood's got to get up there. That's what Easter's all about. We've got to get that high priest out of the grave. And after 3 days and three nights, He rose. The whole world this morning celebrates Easter. Nobody knows why. That's why. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, but not the blood of Calvary. The blood of Calvary applied before the presence of God Himself. Let's imagine for a minute. Here's a couple. They have a family. They look at their oldest child. Who's your oldest child, Brother Claire? Karen. He looks at his precious daughter, Corinne, and says, she's our oldest. If we don't do exactly what we're supposed to do, she'll die on the night of April 14th. When that angel comes through the land, she'll die. We've got to know what to do.
Can you imagine how they looked up at Moses and said, Moses, get this right. Corinne, her life is at stake. Please, Moses, tell us exactly like it is. And that's why the man of God needs to preach it exactly like it is. Tell us exactly like it is, Moses. Moses said, this is it. I imagine the Eau Claires of that day got scratch paper out and began to take notes. And I imagine when Moses said a lamb, wrote down the word lamb. What kind of lamb? A male lamb. Anything else? Yes, without blemish. Let me write that down. Without blemish. And what else? It must be chosen on the 10th day of the first month. Let me write that down. And what else? It must be observed. Be without blemish for 4 days till the 14th day. And then what else? It must be killed on the 14th day. Let me write that down. Killed on the 14th day. Then what else? It must be, the blood must be taken and sprinkled on the doorpost. And write that down. And can you see the Eau Claires and Mrs. Eau Claires on the fourth, on the 10th day of that month? She says, honey, be sure what you got the notes there. Yes. First thing, choose a lamb. And boy, they go out there, that little herd of animals out there, and they choose the best one they've got. They don't choose some little scrawny lamb. I won't do it. And neither will an imperfect Jesus do it either. And neither will a Jesus not virgin born do it either. You've got to have the perfect Son of God as your Savior. Church can't do it. Priest can't do it. Pope can't do it. Preacher can't do it. Baptism can't do it. Communion can't do it. Sacrament can't do it. Only a perfect lamb can do it. You see, what else? I've got to choose a male. Best male we've got. Got to have one without blemish here. On the 10th day, we're going to watch it. We're going to check that lamb. Can you imagine how often they check that lamb? Man alive. Boy, Karen's life is at stake here. Check that lamb every day. Check it again and again. I have an idea before they killed it on the first month and the 14th day of that month. They checked it again to be sure it was okay. Now what else we do? We kill it. Kill it. Mrs. Eau Claire says, that's that. There's that lamb, dead lamb there, and there's the blood all around it. Death angel comes by tonight. They walk in the next morning, look in that bed, and there lies Corinth's body, dead. All you have is a dead Savior. You can't be passed over. No. Take off your crucifix and wear an empty tomb around your neck. Take Jesus off the cross. He's not there. He's in heaven, our high priest. Ah, but can you imagine? The death angel came over at night. He didn't stop here to look at the backyard where the lamb was slain. He didn't say, I'm going to look and see if there's a lamb slain there. No, he's looking at the door. That's all. That's all he's interested in is that blood on the doorpost. He saw that blood on the doorpost, and the Clares went to Karin's room the next morning, and they said, Karin, how you doing? Fine, Daddy. I slept real good. Hallelujah! She's spared! She's saved! The death angels passed over. Let's suppose for a minute that high priest had offered that sacrifice on the altar over here and then gone home, and that blood was there on at the base of that altar. Wouldn't do any good. God would not have forgiven one sin of all of Israel because the blood's got to get over there. And that's why our Savior was raised from the dead. The average person this morning that went out early to the sunrise service hadn't got the foggiest idea why he rose from the dead. He had to rise from the dead. Because he's not only our lamb, he's our high priest. And as our lamb, he died. But as our high priest, he rose and ever liveth. And that's why when he was walking, rose from the dead. He was walking there in the garden. He saw Mary Magdalene. He said, Mary. And she said, Rabboni, Master. And she ran up. He said, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Why? He was on his way to heaven to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. And just like you couldn't touch me a while ago, nobody could touch him because he was the high priest. But thank God, he rose.
Thank God he ascended. And thank God he sprinkled the blood. And thank God I'm redeemed. I'm saved forever. Because I'm good? No. Because I deserve it? No. Because I go to church? No. Because I belong to the church? No. Because I'm baptized? No. Because I've been I take communion? No. Because I am religious? No. Because I tried to live a good life? No. I'm saved because the blood of the Lamb has been applied in the very presence of God Himself. That's Easter. That's all it's about. We have a high priest who was here, became a lamb. He died. Our entire hope of eternity hinges on Him getting out of that grave. He stays in that grave, that blood stays on that cross. He stays in that grave, that blood stays at the foot of that cross. But up from the grave, He arose with a mighty triumph over His foes. He arose a victor in the dark domain. He lives forever. Hey, though why does He live forever? He ever liveth to make intercession for us, Hebrews 7:25 says. Ask your question. Have you ever trusted that lamb and that high priest? Somebody said, I read a scripture one time that said we're saved by His life. We're supposed to live like Him. No, it says we're saved by His life. What does it mean? We've been justified by faith. That's His death. We are kept saved by His life. What life? That ever-living life. He's always there saying, Father, there's the blood. In case God the Father ever looks down and sees me committing some sin, and certainly He does, and He says that's charged against Him. Jesus said, there's the blood. There's the blood. There's the blood. When you stumble and fall and commit a sin, Jesus says, there's the blood. There's the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing else. Have you ever taken time on your life to make this resurrection of Christ valid in your life? All you have to do, and there's nothing else you can do to get to heaven. You've got to someday look at your life. The Jew, when the Jew offered that Passover lamb on the 14th day of April, he was saying, I'm a sinner. When the high priest offered that lamb on the Day of Atonement, he was saying, we're sinners. Can you say that this morning? I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't do always right. I know there are things that I've done that are wrong against the will of God and the law of God. I know I've done that. You're part of the way to heaven right now. You've already gotten to the first town on the road to glory. Second thing you've got to know is that as a sinner, you're lost. The third thing you've got to know is that Jesus paid the penalty on the cross for your sins and shed His blood for your sins on the cross. And the last thing you've got to know, He rose from the dead as our high priest. Why? So He could show everybody I'm alive again? No. So He could take that blood and take it to the very presence of God and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. So you this morning could say, I'll take a Jesus like that. I'll trust Him as my Savior. I'll make Him my own. I will accept this gift of life because of a lamb that was slain. And a high priest that took the blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. To that end, we say thank God for Easter. Shall we pray?